This segment is sponsored by Tanzanian Royalty Exploration, symbol TNX in Canada and TRX on the New York Stock Exchange. This is King World News. I'm Eric King, and you're about to hear from legendary Art Cashin. Remember to go to our homepage, kingworldnews.com, for more interviews where we've already had Gerald Celente, John Hathaway, John Embry, and Michael Pinto. But without any further delay, here is Art Cashin. Joining us now is Art Cashin, Director of Floor Operations at UBS. Art, what's the talk among the traders on the floor this week? What are they chattering about?
Well, they're wondering if the market may in fact see the rally beginning to tire a little bit here. We're doing a lot of work around S&P 1400, and they've got to kind of consolidate, see if they can punch through. They look a little weary, and we're starting to see problems in Europe reassert themselves.
When you say problems in Europe reassert themselves, Art, can you elaborate on that?
Sure. First of all, the yields on the bonds, particularly of Portugal and Spain, are beginning to see their yields widen. They're not quite up to crisis levels, but they are steadily widening, and that is reminding people that while the Greek situation was temporarily resolved, there has been no solution. We've only postponed things. Secondarily, the recent purchasing managers data over in Europe strongly hints that that economy may be slowing down. And, in fact, may be ready to slip into a recession.
Art, I wanted to ask you, you brought up the situation in Europe. There are some people who have expressed concern that the mountain of derivatives could one day have the entire banking system on fire, or at least create the kind of inflation that you only read about in textbooks. How real is that concern, would you say, during this cycle, Art?
Well, I think what people are concerned about is that there is enormous amount of, you would, tinder in that the LTRO in Europe put a lot of assets in the hands of banks who have temporarily parked it at the ECB. The same thing is true here in the United States. The balance sheets of the various central banks have nearly trebled. Now, in history, that has often led to a rather sudden and sharp inflation. And that's what people are concerned about. Will history reassert itself? For now, the money's laying fallow, and people are afraid to either lend it or spend it. And that's the only way you're going to get inflation.
Art, when you say that's the only way you're going to get inflation, what will we watch for there to know that's coming? What would be the key to tip us off?
Well, I think you would look at the money supply beginning to increase rapidly. You look at the velocity of money. The classic example of this is, let's say that Ben Bernanke lived up to his helicopter image and he flew over your house and dumped 10 million brand new dollar bills, newly printed dollar bills on your lawn. And if you were so concerned about what's going on, you decided to pick them up and just put them in the garage. Well, that's new money. It's extra money, but it's not inflationary because it's not going anywhere. So you've got to watch the velocity of money, and that will show up in things like the money supply. And you can compare what's called the monetary base or the monetary stock published by St. Louis Fed, and then look at the Thursday evening M2 figures. And if the M2 begins to expand while the monetary base is about the same, then you know the money's gaining velocity.
The recent bond market decline, we've bounced a little bit, but how much of a concern is that for traders?
Well, everybody was alert to it. People had thought, okay, this is telling us that the economy is finally kicking in. Instead of being that rather poor motor that needs a tune-up and misfiring, that it was going to finally kick in. And you had some major firms putting out what they call generational calls that the 30-year bull market in bonds was ending and it was going to move up. And the reason for concern here, obviously, is that we're very close to zero rates on the short end. So it's tough for the rates to go much lower. So it would appear rational and logical that you might see rates begin to reverse and move up. As I said, it has been a 30-year bull market. So if they began to move up at a certain level or so, then might be looking at a multi-decade change going on before your eyes.
You made a great point about the bonds. Quote, the rate at which Treasury bonds have slumped and yields have risen suggests some significant selling, end quote. You went on to theorize that it may very well have been the Chinese doing the selling, Art?
Yeah, let me just quickly talk to that. The yield on Treasuries went up rather significantly, and it would indicate to those of us who have been doing this for a while, that you needed to get some pretty heavy selling in one of the world's most liquid markets to move yields that much. The money did not come directly into the stock market. Had it done that, probably we would have seen the Dow rise 500 or 600 points more than it did. And anecdotally, we are told by friends in the bond area that a chunk of the money has been parked in cash, not moved into another asset class, not a commodity, not a stock. And that raises a question. Who would do that? No, certainly no pension fund would be doing that. They've got to mobilize that money if they're taking it out. So who might do a thing like that? Well, to sell so many bonds and not need to redeploy that cash sounds like a sovereign. And with the amount of bonds sold, raise the possibility that it might be the Chinese. And the Chinese would be the only people that could make that move without really being noticed.
Art, you're an encyclopedia of knowledge when it comes to these markets, and you stated earlier in the week that the volatility is the lowest since 1934, and you're such a great historian, as I said, on these markets. What do you make of this?
Well, I think that the first thing you have to take away is that 2011 was a remarkably volatile year. You had whipsaw swings. You had clients calling up their advisors and saying, are you sure that's a business you're in? Are you sure that stock market's really legit? And so that hyper-volatility exhausted people. And I think part of the thing we're seeing now is very narrow ranges. And the question is, will that narrow range continue as people try to determine whether to re-enter the market or not? Too early to tell yet.
You also made another comment during the week, and I wanted to ask you this question. Do you believe the Fed is, in fact, going to reduce their balance sheet or not? Because it sounded like you didn't think that was going to happen.
I don't think so. If you look back from the beginning of the first quantitative easing, whenever they have throttled back a little bit, when they have taken the foot off the gas pedal, you've seen contractions in stock prices, contractions in commodity prices. That's why I think the Fed was quick to leak out the story that they might be going for a sanitized operation twist, saying all hope is not gone. And lastly, Eric, I would say to you, don't forget it's an election year. If the Fed is going to have some ammunition ready, they've got to think about it now. If they were deciding to deploy it in August or September, October, accusations would fly that it was a politically motivated Fed.
Are there worries from traders and other institutional players about the oil price, the high oil price being such a big tax on the middle class?
Yes, there are, and obviously geopolitics is not fully priced into this market, and the Iranian situation continues to be of great concern down here, not only whether there might be a military move, but also whether, as these sanctions begin to bite in, whether the Iranian government decides to seek retribution and spread the pain. Let's blockade the Straits of Hormuz. Let's make sure that people aren't getting the supplies they need. So those geopolitical concerns are not fully priced in.
Art, when you say those geopolitical concerns aren't fully priced in, you've been doing this for half a century, and I might as well ask you this question. If we get up one day and there's a war going on in Iran and Israel's going after them in the U.S. or vice versa, but a big war breaks out there, what do we wake up to when it comes to all of these markets in your mind? And I'm just going to say key commodities, obviously oil, gold in that equation, and stocks.
Well, no one can fully know. The concern is that you would see a massive spike in oil. Secondarily, you might see the traditional flight to safety. If so, that might mean a huge rush into dollars. And given the correlation we've seen with rises in the dollar and sell-offs in gold, oil, and stocks, you could not rule out a 1,000-point move in a day. So you could get a very wild move, and that is why traders are watching it very, very warily.
Outside of war, Art, I also wanted to ask you, what are your big worries or concerns going forward?
Well, I think it is that many of the geopolitical risks have not been resolved. The after effects of the Arab Spring are not fully known, and got to see what's happening in Syria, Iran, and where does Turkey come out in this. So geopolitics is probably my key.
You also made a note Thursday about Chairman Bernanke's comments regarding the gold standard. And, of course, when the Fed was created, they were saying, hey, we're not here to replace the gold standard. But now we have Chairman Bernanke, you know, 80 years later, basically saying, we don't need the gold standard. What about his comments? I wanted to know what your thoughts were on that, because you ended the note saying, hey, there's no reason to try to reason or argue with this person with that kind of attitude. But, Art, what about the situation with the gold standard?
Well, I think it's twofold. I think the example he tried to convey was that the gold standard is not as flexible as the Fed is. He's fighting a very defensive game here. What started out as Ron Paul and just a few people criticizing the Fed is turning into a Congress that's growing more and more, I want to use the word suspect, but more and more concerned about how effective the Fed is in working. And I think these tutorials are simply a way for him to try and tell the story of the Fed, why you need us, why we're important, why we're good. He talked about the gold standard. The next thing he talked about was Volcker and crushing inflation. So he's trying to prove that the Fed is necessary, and it's a rather defensive move.
You also talked about cash on the sidelines with regards to the stock market. Are fund managers still underinvested at this point in the rally, or are they pretty committed?
They are. People continue to draw funds out of equity mutual funds. We have a strange dichotomy going on here. You have corporations doing some of the most aggressive corporate buybacks we've seen in a while, yet the insiders are selling at a near historic rate. So the president of the company is selling his shares while the company itself is buying it back. Love to hear the discussions in the boardroom. A lot is going on. And the public still very wary of the market.
Finally here, Art, in closing, sentiment on the stock market unusually has been dipping a little bit very recently. We did get a bounce on the bulls. I was talking with John Gray from Investors Intelligence about this, but he was also pointing out we're not seeing the buying climaxes of between 600 to 700 or even 1,000 stocks that we normally see at the highs, where we see stocks go up, make new 52-week highs, then reverse and end the week lower. We're not seeing that type of action. Does that mean we're headed a little bit higher? Higher possibly, even though we have the caution flag waving?
Well, the old two sides to every coin. It is also unusual for a rally to continue when you make higher highs with a diminished number of 52-week highs. Fewer and fewer stocks are working. Fewer horses are pulling this wagon train. And that raises the question, will they tire soon and will the train grind to a halt?
Legendary Art Cashin, Director of Floor Operations at UBS. Thank you for joining us on King World News.
Okay, thank you.
Be sure to tune in as we will continue to release interviews with the top people in the world throughout the week. Also, make sure to check out the King World News blog, including Saturdays and Sundays, where we will have new releases.